Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Willa Cross, and with me tonight is my co-host, Tracy Ford, and we have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Isabel Kate from all the way across the pond in the UK. She is an author and has done paranormal investigating and is here to tell us about her supernatural experiences. Also, we have on the show tonight our resident demonologist, Michael Barbie, who has some very important information to share with us later on in the show. I'd like to invite you to listen to all of our World of Ink Network shows. We have the Book Discussion with Fran Lewis, the Writing Mama Show with Virginia Grenier, The Edge with Cassandra Dane, Right Step with R.J. Jeffries, and A Good Story is a Good Story with our very own Marcia Casper Cook. So if the paranormal is not your thing, tune in to one of these shows, because I promise you, if this isn't what you want, we've got something you want. How are you doing, Tracy?
I am just beautimous. How are you?
I am fairly fantastical.
Wow, I'm going to move on tonight.
I am. Tracy and I, because after the 21st, because once we had that faux pas, we decided that we were going to just have our own language and people could either get with it or be behind.
That's right.
So
we're like twins. We have our own language.
That's right. And Isabel and Michael, how are you both doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm good as well. Good evening and good morning to anyone who's still awake here in the UK.
What I gotta ask you, and I know this has nothing to do with the paranormal, but I'm just curious. You're like a world away from us. What's the weather like over there right now?
Well, I live in Manchester, and it's always cold here. You know, even a spring day is going to be like -2 in the morning, and then it's going to change to about 14 degrees. So it's still cool. It's still cold sometimes. We still have fog, and I live near the park. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, my favorite comedian is from over there.
Oh, really?
Yes, his name is Graham. You know who I'm talking about?
Graham Norton. Ah.
Yes.
Yes.
I love him so. He's my favorite.
He's really funny, yeah.
He's my absolute favorite. I never miss his show. In fact, the only reason I upgraded my dish package was so I could still get BBC.
Right.
I love him so much. One of these days, I want to meet him. I want to come over there and be on his show, because he is.
Oh, wow. That would be nice. That would be nice. You'd be in London. So we're 2 hours away from London.
How far are you from Ireland? Is Manchester's not in Ireland, correct?
No. Manchester's in the northwest, so it's closer to the middle area of the UK. My point of reference, well, for Ireland, we have to cross the ferry. We have to take the ferry and cross, because the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland are different. So I think it's, I haven't been there, but I can only guess that it's about maybe an hour and 45 by plane. So I don't really know how long it is by ferry. But I am 2.5 hours to Scotland. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I had paranormal experience in Scotland as well.
Oh, good. You're going to tell us about it, right?
Yeah.
My dream destination is Ireland.
I swear
to you, before I die, I will stand on the cliffs in Ireland and look down to see.
And your castle.
And the castle, yes, there's a castle over there that I'm pretty sure that I might have lived in at one time before it was falling down. But that's a whole different show. We're not going to talk about that tonight. let's start with, okay, how did you become involved with the paranormal? What was your first paranormal experience?
Well, I think I've always been, because I'm a very sensitive person, so even if I don't see something, I can sense its presence. So,
yes.
In fact, even before I dabbled in paranormal investigations, I think my first experience was that I was about 6 years old, 6, 7 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, I went with my mom, my grandmother, and my aunt to my mom's cousin's house because she was staying with a good friend of hers, and they found out that she was dying of cancer. On the way inside the house, I met somebody in the garage, you know, in the carport, and I realized that it was my granduncle, so he was my grandmother's brother. So I greeted him, and I asked him, why don't you come inside? And then I was wondering why he was dressed in a coat and tie, and it was in the afternoon. It was like about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And then he said, don't worry, I'll be coming in. And then I said, let me hold your hand. And then he said, no, go ahead with your mom, go ahead with your grandmother, and I will follow. So while I was inside the house, I was wondering where he was. And when I asked my grandmother where my granduncle was, she got angry, and she said, stop talking about those things. Later on, during one of our clan reunions, and I was already in college at that time, and I told them about my experience that I saw my granduncle. One of his daughters brought me to the side, and she said, how did he look like, or what did he look like? And then I described that, you know, he was wearing a coat and tie, and I did say that his face was ashen. And then my aunt said, well, that was the coat and tie we used to bury him, and he died 35 years before you were born. So
oh, wow.
So that was my first experience with paranormal or ghosts. Yeah, so that really scared me, and only after I found out. And then the second paranormal experience I had with a ghost was again with a relative, and she was my great-great-grandmother, and I went to her funeral. That evening she visited me, and she was I was lying down, and she tried to reach for me, and I was really trying as much as possible to sink down into the mattress because I didn't want to go with her. Well, she stayed with me for maybe about, you know, when you're really scared, you think that the time is so long when it's just like about 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know. So I thought that she was with me for over an hour, and then I started praying. Even when I closed my eyes and then I opened my eyes again, she was still there trying to reach down for me, and then she disappeared. And afterwards, I didn't want to go to any funeral for a very long time because I was so scared that, you know, the people might just visit me after I, you know, see them in their coffins, you know. So, yeah, those were my first two paranormal experiences.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. I would imagine I would have felt very much the same way. Has most of your paranormal experiences been with relatives?
Those were the first. Well, those were the only two, and then the rest. These were already. These dealt with other ghosts. You know, when you were talking about paranormal investigations, I was invited to one, and we were supposed to take pictures at midnight to about 2 o'clock in the morning. And this was in a presidential palace in Southeast Asia. And in that presidential palace, what they did was to make it already into a museum. I'll say what the presidential palace was. It was the Malacañang Palace in the Philippines. And at the time, it was made into a museum, and they had the long table wherein the revolutionary government signed, the constitution. And when we were taking pictures and they were developed, we saw white lines and like lights in a dark background. And before we even started walking into the museum, the leader of the paranormal investigation said, "What I want you to do is to put your thumb and forefinger together. You know, when you have that yoga position, you know, when you do the lotus position, and then you have your thumb and forefinger together." He said, "Do that the whole time you're walking, because apparently spirits, when they know that you're scared, they will gravitate towards you, and the only way that for you to ground yourself is to hold on to that position." So that's what we did. And I was with my husband at the time. And so we went around the palace, and I could really feel something behind me all the time. And it wasn't really a cold presence. Sometimes it would be warm, sometimes it would be cold. So I don't really know what the energy of the dead is, whether they're, you know, whether it should be really be warm or whether it should be cold. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know, that's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah. I think it's interesting about the thumb and the forefinger, that's what you said. Is that right? When you were saying that you were
like in a yoga
trying
position,
to ground
like
yourself.
You're meditating. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it grounds you, isn't it? So yeah, even when you do yoga, it helps ground you. So
yes.
And it's really strange that you say that, because a lot of holistic physicians, when they're doing like muscle response testing, they will have you hold your hands that way, because the energy, I guess, is purer that way, and they can kind of tap into what ailments you're dealing with in a better sense. That's neat that you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I never thought of it as a grounding.
Pardon?
When I'm meditating, I have, and this is very interesting because I didn't know that. This is news to me, what you just said. When I'm meditating, if I do an open hand meditation, the experience is vastly different from when I do the controlled with the ground, with the index and the thumb. It doesn't mean that they're equally good. They still bring peace and whatnot. But I find that with that, just that slight change of hand movement, there's an openness that I don't feel before. Or in the other position. So it's really kind of blows my mind that you said that, because I've noticed it, but I didn't know why. I just thought it was just one of my oddities, because I have so many.
Actually,
and that
I was also surprised that they asked us to do that. And, you know, I always just associate that with yoga. I never really thought that, you know, you could associate it with the paranormal.
It does make sense to me that that would be, because it's part of the opening of the mind and the body, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very cool.
That's really neat. That's very neat.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, that right now, you know, I mean, when I feel scared, and that's what happened to me when I was in Scotland, I would do that, and it would help. It would help me get away from that particular area where I'm afraid of, you know. So, yeah.
So hands down,
part of me.
The scariest paranormal experience that you've gone through, would that be the Scotland one?
Yes, only because I was alone. When I was younger, you know, when I saw my granduncle, I didn't know that he was dead, so therefore there was no concept of fear there. But when I went to Scotland and I needed to do some research for my books, I really went there on purpose. And I was along the Royal Mile. It was about 5:30 in the morning. And I decided to take pictures of the Edinburgh Castle at night because my character, the one that I was writing about, is half vampire, half werewolf, so he's a hybrid. So I needed to get the feel of how he would feel when he sees the sun rising. So obviously he had to stay in the dark. And while I was walking towards Edinburgh Castle, I went to the St. Giles Cathedral, which is along the Royal Mile, and I decided, this facade looks very good. In terms of, you know, if you want to write a ghost story, this would be really nice. So I decided to step on one of the benches and take a picture because I'm quite short. So I needed some height in order to get the picture. But I digress for a while. The same time, I was also writing a short story, and I was and it had something to do with ghosts as well. And the name of one of the characters there was Dorothy. So let's go back to St. Giles again. So when I took a picture, I felt some heat behind me, but it was impossible for somebody to be behind me because it was a row or a set of grills that was behind me, and then there was a drop, and then it was a building. So it was impossible for anybody to be behind me. And so I said, okay, if there's anyone that's behind me, I do apologize. I just need to get, you know, a picture. So when I went, when I jumped down from the bench and I turned around, I saw that the bench was donated by the parents of Dorothy. So, you know, what were the odds that, you know, I would have chosen that bench? And, you know, what were the odds that I would have chosen that name as well? So, I really don't know how to explain that. That was one. And then the second is that because in an area close to Edinburgh, there is a place there wherein they hanged or burned witches. So at the time, I know that there was a part there that had something like a small commemorative, how do you call that, maybe a commemorative plate or a commemorative fountain, wherein it said there that in this area, this was where some of the witches were burned. There is also another place in Edinburgh where the witches were burned, but in this particular area, this was the one that was just right before the parking area going into the Edinburgh Castle. The Esplanade. So what happened was that I went straight into the Edinburgh Castle, and in the facade it was really dark except for one light, and I know that the barracks, because they also used that as military barracks, was behind the facade. So the one solitary life there was already eerie. It was kind of spooky. And then at the same time, I felt heat again behind my back, and I was the only one in the parking area. And my back was turned towards the area where they used to burn witches. So I just said a prayer, and I said, you know, I'm only getting some pictures for my research, and I have no intention of disrespecting you. And so I started walking calmly down, and then I wanted to take a picture of another pub there, which is called The Witchery. And but there was something that was stopping me from doing so. So I continued on, and I left the area of the Edinburgh Castle. But behind me, I could hear someone, like, drawing something or using something against the grill, but there was nobody there. So, yeah, that was my second paranormal experience along the Royal Mile.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I mean, that is like super hypersensitivity, I think, to paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. Do you find, because I have to ask this because I have this issue myself. Mm-hmm. Do you find that when you go to places that it's like they're you're magnetized and they're just connected to you, and no matter where you go, if it's someplace that's presumed to be haunted, you end up feeling or sensing something?
Yes, yes. And I'm a scaredy cat, so as much
sounds
as
like
possible,
you have a neon
I will try to be with some... Sorry?
I said it sounds like you have a neon light over your head.
I know. That's why, I really don't know why, a presence will gravitate to me. The one for Edinburgh, I, in fact, I wrote something about it. I mean, how far will you take, how far will you do your research in order to get, to get your story? And I said pretty much. I was going out of my comfort zone there. I'd probably do it again if it was necessary. I'd be praying before I'd go to a place, and I'd be thanking whoever was there who allowed me to stay there without scaring me.
That's me in a nutshell. I do get scared. It doesn't happen often. It's more, if I have to be specific about emotions and feelings, I would say it's more of a freaked out kind of thing than it is actual fear. But I would do it again over and over and over again, because for me it's validation, especially if there's equipment involved and I can prove, see, yes, I'm not crazy. I am actually feeling this. It's actually there. I just for your listeners, so that you would know, right before the show came on, I said, so what's going on in the paranormal realm in everybody's world? Anybody got any new stuff going on? Because I just had another visitor, which is like common here. I'm sure people are tired of hearing about my visitors, but it was very common. It's very common because I'm just like this magnet for them. And I had just gotten out of the tub. I'm sitting there completely naked, which is not a pretty sight, just so you know. I'm completely naked. I wrap my towel around me. I look out, and I see this man, like, hump-shouldered, sitting in my computer desk over my keyboard. He's, like, slumped over the keyboard.
You're thinking, why shouldn't it be a good-looking dude?
Oh, no, he wasn't. He was like, I don't know, maybe he was. All I could see was like this, it was almost like a beret kind of hat. And he's like slumped shoulder, and he's like kind of got this grayish, sweatery thing on. And he's like hump-shouldered. And I glanced, looked back at the mirror, glanced again, Mm-hmm. And when I looked the second time, he was there for just a split second and then gone. And I'm like, dude, seriously, don't touch my effing computer because I can't say the word online or even on air. That is a no-no. Get out of this room. And my daughter comes walking in, and she's like, Mom, who are you talking to? And I'm like, never mind. Because when I tell them that there's somebody here, then they all freak the heck out. And I'm like, having to deal with that drama. So I'm like, never mind. And she's like, what? What's going on? I'm like, it's okay. Just get out. I got to get dressed. And that was it. That was the end of it. I haven't seen, felt, heard nothing since that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you, I'm terribly relieved that I don't have a virus or some crazy thing going on with my computer because I kind of thought he was messing with my computer.
Mm-hmm. There's so many jokes.
This is a normal thing for me. So I always want to ask other people who are sensitive, does that happen to you? Because it's the most random nonsense that shows up. Somebody will just show up. It's a, you know, couple of seconds. I might feel them for a day or two, and then they're gone, and that's it. Do you have that?
Yeah, I have that. Sometimes it happens to me, but see, I think because they know that I don't want to see them. And but their presence is kind of strong. So yeah, like for example, here I live in a 100-plus-year-old house, and I can sense somebody here, and I know that it's a woman, but she is benevolent. She's not malevolent at all.
That's how it is for me 98% mm-hmm. of the time. It's just a sensation. I can feel, I feel they're here. I feel their presence.
Mm-hmm.
I can
mm-hmm.
roughly guesstimate an age.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a sex. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a lot clearer than that, and I can get, like, actual sporadic images of what their
mm-hmm.
life was like.
Mm-hmm.
But that's unusual for me to get that much. It's usually just more
mm-hmm.
of a sense that they're here and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're male or female. And then when I can see them, though, that's what I love. Because when I actually
mm-hmm.
see them, I'm like, okay, good.
mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm.
being in that case, there's somebody there. Or
yeah.
schizophrenic and having hallucinations, which I don't take
yay,
that.
Yay, I'm not crazy today.
I'm not crazy today. I saw them. I know they're here. And the funny thing is for me is there's always some kind of coinciding evidence. It's usually a personal experience. Like when that happened, my daughter left the room going, oh, my gosh, Mom is seeing ghosts again. And my other daughter,
mm-hmm.
who lives here too, said, I knew there was something going on because my baby has been talking to somebody, and I keep telling her there's nobody there, and she keeps playing with somebody. So
mm-hmm.
for me, that was coinciding evidence that I'm not a complete and total Looney Tune because my granddaughter, who's a year and a half year old, was talking to them.
You know, that was the point
so
I wanted to interject when I shut my mouth.
Michael, be careful. Only a 3-second delay. Please be careful.
I have a question. Have you ever been on any paranormal investigations, Isabel, and had an attachment follow you out of the place? And if so, what was that experience like?
How do you mean an attachment?
Any type of attachment, whether it be a ghost that kind of followed you home or the...
Oh, right.
Like
any
that.
Kind of entity.
Yes. When I gave birth to my son, because I'm quite sensitive, what I did was to pray over my son and, you know, to protect my son.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was that when we rented a house, we didn't realize that it was haunted. And my son would often wake up at around 4 o'clock in the morning, really screaming his head off, and we thought that it was just colic. But it was like he was trapped in some sort of nightmare. And so there's a group called the Spirit Questers, and we decided, my husband and I decided that we needed to get help because we didn't know what was happening to my son, and my son was losing weight, and he was just like, he wasn't even a year old then. So obviously, as a mother, I was very, very scared. And if I could use the cuss word, I would use the cuss word on radio, but then I won't do that. so we were asked to bring my son to my in-law's house, and he slept there. And my husband and I were asked to join the Spirit Questers. And so they, well, to make the long story short, they called on to the spirits who were there in the house, who were attached to me and my son. And apparently one was, the one that was attached to me was another child, a young boy. And the one that was attached to my son was a woman. But apparently they were on two different planes, but the woman was used to live in that house. And she got pregnant, and her uncle and aunt told her to abort the child. So because of that, because she felt such guilt, she committed suicide. Assuming that they were already on a different plane, the son, the child, and the woman did not see each other. So when the child saw me caring for my baby, he got jealous and wanted me to take care for him, and vice versa. And the woman wanted my son because she thought that my son was her son. So what we had to do was to guide them and meet, you know, guide them to meet so that they could meet each other and to let go of my son and myself. And after that incident, my son was able to sleep, and we stayed in that house for 2 more years before we had to go.
Wow. That's profound. Wow.
Yeah. So it was scary.
That's something, because I've never heard anybody explain the different planes. Like, you know that they exist, but I've never heard anybody refer to a situation where the ghosts couldn't see each other. And I think that's new to me. Like, I've never heard of that and never even contemplated that. Like, never realized that that's a possibility, even though, like, in the back of your mind, you know that it is. But I'm glad you explained that, because I don't think we that experience this all the time, I mean, it's just like, you know, putting your shoes on in the morning or whatever. It's regular for us to see and hear and all these different things, but I don't think we realize that they're on different planes, and sometimes the room may be filled up with people and they don't see each other. You see them all, but they don't see one another. And I never even thought of it that way until you just mentioned that.
Well, I think a lot of that depends on what kind of haunting they are. It depends on what kind of haunting it is. If it's a residual, then they're not going to see anything else around them.
No, that's very true.
Yes.
If it's an intelligent haunting, but it still consists within a particular amount of time, say like around the time of their death, they may not be able to interact with the other ghosts there.
Yeah,
that's very true. I never even – thank you for bringing that up, because I think that – I mean, I didn't even realize that. I mean, I did, but I didn't. I mean, does that make – I know it probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but – like,
that's,
I get
easy,
communications,
it's something like
from all
validated
kinds of different...
something that you thought of, isn't it?
And you just, you don't realize that they're not crossing each other's path sometimes. Like, you're thinking, why are you all here? Can you not see that I'm, like, can you not see the line that's formed out into the hallway? I mean, and they probably think, well, no, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? Because we're the only person here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like on different frequencies.
Right.
And I never thought of that either.
I agree with that. I think that it is very much like a frequency. Some people, well, it goes back to the whole, the difference in folks that can sense these things. You know, I have a friend who can see them, period. Every time if they're around, she sees them. It's not a sensation. For me, it's a sensation. When I see them, it's a rare thing, and I enjoy it when I do because I feel like I'm validated at that point. But mostly it's a sense of they're around and a sense of this and a sense of that, which is not as particular, you know. It's harder to come to an exact conclusion because it's just a sensation, whereas when you can see them and you view them and you know exactly what they look like, you can get online, you can research, you can start looking for pictures of people that died in your area. You can do some research and find out who they are. Where when it's a sensation, you don't have a whole lot to go on other than,
true.
I feel
that's
like,
true.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I think that it does have a lot to do with whatever you're tuned into. And I can tell you quite honestly, I don't attempt to tune into very often because I'm busy.
That's right.
If I make the attempt to tune into, then I'm going to be so stinking busy that I don't have time to do my actual work. So I attempt to not tune into as often as possible. Those folks who actually make themselves known to me in a big way expend a lot of time and effort doing so because I spend a lot of time and effort trying to block them out. That's all part of the craziness. That is me. Anyhow, I think that's absolutely amazing. And you say you're scared of this, but it seems as if you're very open to it. Anyhow,
I think the reason why I'm open to it is because I'm getting to speak with you. I mean, you know, it's easier to get to speak about these things with people who have the same interest as I do. But I normally would keep it to myself. Well, my husband knows about it. He knows how sensitive I can get in terms of, you know, knowing there's a presence in the room. And I think it's also because I'm more comfortable with it now, and that I've accepted that, you know, one way or the other, if somebody wants to communicate with you or somebody wants to make you sense them, then they will do so no matter what you do, no matter, you know, if you say, can you stop it, they'd still want to do it. I mean, they're pretty naughty sometimes, you know, when, you know, even when you say, I don't want it, they'll still go on and give it to you. So, I mean, I can't do anything about that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it, too.
Yeah.
They kind of just, they don't really care about your personal preference.
Yeah.
That's not something they're very concerned with. Especially when they're screaming in your ear.
Yeah.
I don't have much screaming. What bothers me is
I don't whisper. Now. Now, I did at the beginning, but I don't now. They talk now. Before, when I didn't understand what was going on, there was a lot of yelling. But, then when I kind of realized something's very different about me, then...
Yeah.
And I accepted it. There's no more screaming anymore. There's no
for
more yelling and screaming.
They do this whispering thing.
Mm-hmm.
and it absolutely drives me nuts because I can be sitting. I know she's laughing because she knows I'm already.
I am because they don't do that to me. They just talk.
And I could be right in the middle of writing, like, the best freaking scene ever in one of my new books, and all of a sudden I'll hear, psh, 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 and that's what it sounds like.
Oh, right.
It doesn't sound like actual words. It just sounds like somebody's going psh, 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 in my ear.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, my God. And my first thought after all this time, after all these years, my first thought is always, oh, crap, I'm having auditory hallucinations again.
Again.
Dang it. I finally have gone off the deep end and I'm crazy. And sometimes I'll put on music or whatever, and then finally I'll just go lay on my bed and I'll be like, all right, tell me what you want, and then shut the blank up because I'm busy and I don't have time for your BS. So tell me what you want to say and get it freaking over with. I don't have time for this. And it, you know what happens when I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Not a blessed thing. That's what happens. Nothing.
Oh,
and then I'm like, okay, cool. I am totally psycho. Nothing's going on.
You're being mean to them. That's why they're doing. That's why they're like, we're going to really make her mad.
Wait till you go to sleep. I'm about to rock your world.
Did you just say that on the air?
I said biatch. That's not against rules.
Awesome.
B-I-O-T-C-H. I can say that.
The censor police. Oh, Willow. Good grief. That's why they're whispering at you, honey. They know they're getting under your skin.
Oh,
Lord.
They know. You know when they leave me alone? When I'm writing a haunted series. When I start writing about them, then they're like, they totally disappear. They're like, oh, crap. We went too far this time.
I'm still laughing because they were doing a computer getting ready to change it while you was in the shower.
He was like, man, I don't like this part about myself.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to change this, and she won't know it.
Delete, it's insanity.
Delete.
You just pranked your computer crashed last time.
Y'all.
Oh, no.
People, listen, if you think your life, for my listeners out there, for our listeners out there, if you think your life stinks, wait till you deal with ghosts on a regular basis. Because just like children, you know how children will say stuff and then you'll be like, oh, she said blah, 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 and they won't ever say it again in public because they have to make you a liar. Ghosts do the same damn thing. I mean, darn thing. Mm. Oops. They do the same thing. They make you a liar.
Coolest thing I have ever seen. Okay, I'm kind of multitasking with the chat menu and then with Facebook, and someone has actually tagged a photo of our World of Ink broadcast, like right now, live, and they to show that they're listening to it, and they tagged both me and Willow in it, and they posted it on Facebook. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Wow. Megan,
we love you.
You rock. Dude, you
rock. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you in more ways than we can possibly explain. All right, well, let's get back to our guest. I'm very sorry, Isabel. I didn't mean to make this show
all
about me and my
psychosism.
We do this.
All right.
We're so sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize.
We never know what's going to happen on this show, just so you know. And the fact that we haven't had, usually when we have a show, we have some kind of major technical malfunction. Which we believe, don't we? Y'all know both Michael and
it's either a storm or something bad is going on, or there's some bad connection.
we're not allowed to talk about it in public because the ghosts don't want other folks to know that they're real. So let's get back to you. First of all, let's do this for just a second. I want you to tell the listeners about your books because even though this is about paranormal, I still want them to know about your books and where they can find them and what they're about. So give us a little spiel about those, if you would.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Well, I am a paranormal romance author, and my books deal with a vampire, werewolf, human hybrid, and I call them the Synchroar. And it's going to be their stories and how they are trying to stem the tide or even try to stop evil from, you know, from dominating the world. So it's a parallel world that I've written. And my first book was Rapture at Midnight, which is a story of Finn Qualtrough, and the second one is Forever at Midnight, which is a story of Rourke Hamilton. And I'm in the middle of waiting for the third book to be published, which is Midnight's Atonement. So it's a story of all of the warriors. They're all immortal. And they're infused with the Kinari gene, which is, you know, the amalgamation of vampire, werewolf, and human DNA. So it's, you know, they get the best of all of those bloods, and it's
that
infused in them.
Like totally my thing to read.
Oh,
that
right.
is very cool.
Totally my genre. I'm a genreist. I really am. I kind of stick to anything paranormal, though lately I've really been to some Nephilim stuff. But, yeah, that totally sounds like my thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to be checking you out because...
Oh, thank you.
Pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Well,
you can get them
just...
on...
Tell
Sorry.
Us. Where?
Yeah, you...
No, go ahead.
You can get them on Amazon, so Amazon.com or Amazon.co.uk, Amazon.com/AU, and, yeah, all of Amazon's stores. So, yeah. My first contemporary romance novella also had some paranormal themes in it. It's really more of, you know, finding the man of your dreams, literally. And that was the location that was set in Edinburgh in Scotland. So that was my first novella. And my first dabbling into the paranormal. So you can also get that through Amazon as well.
Oh, that sounds great. I will totally check those out, and I believe Tracy has put the link in the chat room.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
For folks to check out. So if you're not in chat, log into chat. And if you are in chat, check those books out.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, you go ahead.
I was just wondering if you felt like some of your paranormal experiences have helped you in the writing of these books. Does it kind of give you, do you feel like it gives you a little insight into what's going on in the paranormal world, or does it have nothing to do with it at all?
Well, that's a very good question because I haven't placed my experiences per se in my books because, I've not had any experience with werewolves and vampires. I have a lot of experiences with ghosts. It's going to be in my third and fourth book, where my experiences are going to come in. With respect to ghosts and what happened to me in Edinburgh.
I think it's so cool that we're talking to you and you're like clear across the world. I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's way cool.
I just think that's phenomenal. We definitely appreciate you being on with us. That's awesome.
because I know the time
appreciate
difference
you having me in your radio show. Thank you very much. I mean, I don't mind calling up again if you want me back.
Oh, anytime.
You have some awesome stories. You have some awesome stories.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anytime. Our listeners love to hear true ghost stories. That's the pull of this show. And I think a lot of them, I can't tell right now from the chat room. By the way, folks, if you have any questions and you want to call in, the number is 714-242-5259. Call in. You can ask questions of myself or Tracy or Isabel or Michael. You know, you got some really weird stuff going on. You want to talk to a demonologist, call in, talk to Michael. We're all here. Or you can post it in chat, and we'll try to answer you to the best of our knowledge. And just keep in mind, sometimes we have to say, look, dude, we don't know. That doesn't happen all that often, but because between the three of us, we usually know. But sometimes we just don't know. So be prepared for that. Sometimes you'll hear me say, I've got to come to your house because I can't tell from what you're asking. I've got to actually be there. I had somebody, I was telling Michael earlier today, I had somebody send me a message, and they want to fly me out to their house in Colorado to do an investigation. And I was like, dude, seriously. I'm sure you have a paranormal group that's much closer to help you out. And he's like, no, we really just want you to come. And I said, well, I appreciate that so much, but I'm really kind of busy right now. I'm about to move to a different state, and sounds like you need help like yesterday. So
now,
let's get somebody out there that can be there with the quickness, because I can't be there with the quickness. And I would love to help all of you, just so you know, I would love to, but I just, my schedule just doesn't always allow for that, because I have many other things going on besides this show. So make sure if you're having trouble that you check out a local paranormal investigative group and let them come in and check things out. 9 out of 10 times they're going to be able to tell you how to handle the situation. If they can't tell you how to handle that situation, then at least let them investigate, come to a conclusion, and maybe we can help you at that point. But it probably won't involve us going to your house.
And I'd like to say something. If they'll go to my Facebook page and contact me, if it's something demonic or they feel that may be demonic, I'll do my best to help them, you know.
Right. And Michael, I can say for Michael, Michael's really good at taking care of stuff, even just over the phone. He doesn't necessarily have to show up at your house to help you out. So we'll do our best, but we can't promise anything because, you know, for some folks, we're light years away. Anyhow, let's get back to our guest, Isabel, because we're coming up here on the hour. Do you have any other stories that you want to tell us? Because we'd like to hear them.
At the moment, I can't think of any except for those that I've told you.
Okay.
And that I do sense them. It's just that I don't see them. And if I get scared, I just say enough, and they'll stop. And I can't think of any at the moment that I can add to the stories. Yeah,
I think that's really important, though, what you just said, because that's what I tell people all the time. When you've had enough, you need to say enough. That's called, and you guys have heard this every blessed show we've had, so I'm not going to stop saying it now. Own your own space.
Yeah.
If you have some sort of haunting going on, you tell them, that's enough. You have the right to tell them, you're not allowed to talk to my children. You're not allowed to show yourself to my children. You're not allowed to show yourself to me. I've had enough. And you own your own space, and you say, that's it. I'm done. And they will listen. And if something is not listening,
mm-hmm. chances are it's not a human spirit you're dealing with.
And that's right.
That's a whole
yeah.
can of worms.
That's a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that and
yeah.
at that point you need to call in professionals because let me tell you something. I've dealt with diabolical entities throughout my lifetime here and there. I don't put a lot about that in the haunted books because I try to keep them light.
You're
but,
just giving them power.
Right. You don't want to deal with that as a novice on your own. You need a professional. So please make sure that you call in help. Don't be afraid to, because when you're calling paranormal investigators, they're not going to automatically think you're crazy. That's
mm-hmm.
what they
no.
do. That's
mm-hmm.
what they do. That's their job. So they're not going to be laughing at you going, oh, this woman is a psycho. They're going
yeah,
to
that's
going,
what
how
they're
can we
there
document
for.
This? And, right, right. So don't be afraid to call in help.
Especially if you get something demonic. That's something, I mean, you can dabble with that a little bit yourself, maybe get a few people from your local church and come in and pray, but when you get a serious demonic possession or infestation, you really should go to the next level and contact a specialist in that. I thought I would interject
right.
that.
Every time. And please don't think that, oh, what I'm going, just because you don't have your furniture stuck to the ceiling of your house like Paranormal Activity, I got to tell you,
yeah.
I watched the Marked Ones recently, since our last show, and I, again, sat there and laughed through the whole show and was like, really, people are buying this bridge? Just because it doesn't look like what you see on TV doesn't mean it's not serious. If you feel like
mm-hmm.
you're in danger or if you feel
mm-hmm.
like your children are in danger, call and get help. That's what we're
not only that, but don't let it get a foothold.
Yeah,
right.
Because unless your furniture is on the ceiling, it's almost too late.
Yeah. The moment you start feeling weird stuff, you need to start dealing with it because if you don't, and Willow and I have had this conversation quite a lot. You've got to get it out before it latches on. It's
mm-hmm.
almost like an infestation of like a insect
right.
or something. You have to get them
right.
out like before it really gets bad.
If it takes root, then you have a problem that you cannot get rid of on your own. So
no.
you don't let it take root. You don't let
you
that
know,
happen. Michael, while we're on this subject, let's talk
yes.
about this special project that we've got going on.
Okay.
You're in Missouri right now, and you're investigating, and let's hear about it.
Okay. Everybody know I've been gone for a couple shows. I kind of took a little sabbatical because of all other stuff and going on.
You're out doing your
what we're talking
stuff.
About. Yeah.
Am I not supposed to tell them that? Oh.
Well, oh, by the way, everybody, on the stuff you saw earlier about the furniture on the ceiling, I've been down in Missouri doing my cop stuff. For anybody that don't know me and can't find me, that's what I do in the outside world. I've been interviewing people in Missouri. And what we were talking about earlier on a separate note, I've interviewed, and I'll be seeing the videos hopefully tomorrow, of a demonic happening here that was to the point the police went and got some ghost hunters involved because an individual was possessed. So badly that stuff out of the kitchen was falling out of the ceiling upstairs, like silverware and stuff like that. Razors and stuff out of the bathroom was falling out of the bedroom ceiling out of nowhere, manifesting from nothing. Stuff in the trunk of the car was appearing under the floor, under the brake pedal of the car, almost killing the father. There's video evidence of that, which I'll be presenting that to. I'm down here, like, collecting loads of stuff, loads of great interviews from people that I know is not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, very intelligent, serious people. A lot of the stuff I'll have will be audio and videos. I just got to sort through it because as I go from residence to residence, I collect more evidence. I'm actually calling in from a house right now that was built in 1901 that I'm getting ready to investigate after the show. They have this old lady that watches over their kids and stuff. The kids talk to her. They've seen it, you know, just a very grandmotherly type woman. Hopefully I'll get some pictures. I don't know. But let me look at all my notes here. I have tons of stuff, so I just highlighted a few things. I talked to Brian from the Missouri Ghost Hunter Society, and if anybody want to check this out, you go to ghosthunting.com and go under their media tab, and they've done some shows for destination.com. Let me see. They've been on several shows. They're very well known. I'm trying to find the show that they did. See, destination.com, Traveler's Channel, several of those type of shows. And they've got footage going back many years before this became a popular thing to do. They got VHS tapes of just all kinds of demonic activity. It's just amazing the stuff they have. And
we're
going to Brian,
have that, right? Put up on our YouTube, because we're about to have a YouTube channel, listeners. It's going to be the Paranormal Hour on YouTube, where we're going to any evidence from any investigations we do, because Michael's going to be doing outside investigations. I'm about to move to a different state, and I'll be close to Tracy, and we're going to do investigations, and it's all going up on YouTube for you to see so that when we do the shows, you can actually go watch the videos and see what's been going on with us. We have a question from the chat room,
yeah.
Michael. I'm sorry. I need to interrupt you.
Sure.
My answer to this was absolutely yes. Shooting Stars asks, I have a random question. Could someone being attached to someone cause them to sleepwalk? My answer, and I'll let Michael answer here in a minute, and Tracy as well, and Isabel if she wants to weigh in on this, is absolutely
mm-hmm.
yes. And it doesn't have to be an inhuman spirit that causes that. When you are in REM state and you are dreaming, you are most easily occupied.
Yes.
When you are in that state, it is so easy for a spirit, either human or non-human, to slide in and take over. That doesn't mean when you sleepwalk every time it's not you doing it, but it is absolutely possible, in my opinion, from what I've seen and the research I've done and the investigations I've done, it is absolutely possible. Michael, weigh in.
Yes, absolutely. And I just had an experience a few days ago with something similar to that, but also a person that was addicted to meth and let a demonic entity take them over because they were susceptible. Anytime you're at that stage of sleep, intoxicated, anything like that, it allows entity. And most times it's demonic, but not always, to enter.
And Tracy, you answer. I saw you answered in chat, but go ahead and answer on air.
I believe that it's absolutely possible because, and I say this a lot on my YouTube series, that your dream state is an avenue for paranormal activity to occur.
Yes.
It's the only time when our defenses are down enough for spirits to get a hold of us. And it can either be a bad thing or a good thing. And sometimes those spirits can put us on our feet when we're not even aware that we are on our feet. I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. Because I also think that
dream state is used in a very positive way, because sometimes our brain, like when our brain doesn't shut down due to whatever's going on in our life, sometimes we don't have time to meditate and to pray or do whatever it is that we need to do to find center. And they will communicate with us through our dream state. And
right.
So yes, you are vulnerable in the fact that you can be open to having very negative things attached to you. But in saying that, I think it's also important to realize that that is why you have guardians or spirit guides or whatever it is that you take peace in that stands guard and
right.
makes sure that when you're in those vulnerable states that you're not possessed, for lack of a better term, or oppressed. I think that that's when they step up and say, okay, wait a minute, back off. If you want to communicate with her, you got to communicate through us first.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It is commonly believed that when you have that feeling of falling when you're sleeping, and everybody has experienced this at some point or another,
yes.
where you wake up with a jerk, like all of a sudden you just fell, and your
yeah.
body almost bounces. It is a commonly held belief that that is because you are astrally projecting, and your spirit is actually out of your body, and that is when your spirit has been sucked down back into your body, that your body jerks because it was empty for a moment. Now,
yes.
consider this.
That makes sense.
And
that
I'm
so sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Isabel if she had experienced anything like that or wanted to, like, weigh on in any personal experience with either sleepwalking or dream state or whatever the case may be, since she's so very sensitive.
Yes. When I was in college, I used to do astral travel, and I did not know that I was doing it. It just came. In terms of, entities latching to you, to the person, to the human being that's alive, when you dream, isn't it, sometimes your dead relatives show themselves to you. So, yes, you are vulnerable in that respect. So they can always ask you if you want to join them. And once you touch them, then, we have this belief that once you touch them, then you join them, and then you're dead. I've had experiences with astral travel. I've had experiences with seeing dead relatives also in my dreams. It's just basically, they just want me to do something for them, which they were not able to do when they were alive. The one that you were saying that your body jerks, I've had that several times, actually. But if you are afraid and you feel that, you can't seem to get out of that particular sensation that somebody is attached to you, what you have to do is just move a limb. It can be a toe. It can be, a finger. And everything is going to start rushing back into your body, and you will be okay. And that's what I normally do. During one of those astral travels, I was lying close to the ceiling of my dorm room, and my body was on the bed. So I just needed to make sure that I had, I needed to get back there, otherwise I'd get stuck up there in the ceiling.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard it put that way
after
travel.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm going to interject here before.
Yeah.
Just make sure everybody hears me. I know most people who've actually bothered to look into dream state know this, but I want to say this again just to be sure we're all on the same page. You absolutely can 100% control your dreams. I do it all the time. When you it's just a matter of knowing before you go to sleep that you have total control. It's that simple. It sounds really difficult, and it is totally not. Because everybody at some point in a dream says, is this real or am I dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
You say that to yourself.
Yeah, true.
When you say to yourself in your dream, am I dreaming? You go, oh, yeah, I am. It's just a simple matter of knowing that you are. And knowing that anything you want, because you are in dream state, anything you want to accomplish, you can. So if you start to feel like you're out of control, you rein it back in. You make what you want happen, happen. I have it many, many times. And when I say many, that's not even close to the actual amount. When I go to sleep, I will tell myself, especially if I'm in the middle of a book, I'll say, I'm going to dream about Liz and Michael and what's going on in the next scene. And I will start playing through my head what's happened previously. And when I fall asleep, I will go through the whole next scene. And then I wake up and I go, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I want to go on. And that's how these books get written. Everybody has that capability. I'm not special. I'm not extraordinary. That is a capability that every human being has as long as they go, I can do this. So tell yourself, you can do this, and then take control of it. All right, that's it. I'm done. Go ahead.
And several things I wanted to interject, and one of them is, yes, you are very special.
Yes, you are.
Aw, thank you.
We love you.
I love you guys. You're so freaking awesome.
And I'm sure all three of my fans still think I am as well.
I have to say, I enjoy dream state because that's when most things are revealed to me. And
right.
I never even thought about, leaving my body. I can't even count all the times where I have felt like I was falling. And that all makes sense to me now because I was never able to see my body, when I apparently I was outside of it. But The thing that comes to my mind is something that Isabel mentioned about the dead relatives.
Mm-hmm.
The dream that I had, my aunt, she passed away in 2011 on my birthday. And at that point in my life, I was not in a very good place. I was in a very dark place and did not believe that there was anything after this life. So ended up in a dream. I was a little child. I was a little girl, and I was seeing it through my eyes as if I was actually there, which tells me I was there. And I could see her from her knees down standing up on this staircase. And I had my arms wrapped around my grandfather, and my head came up probably to his stomach. So I knew I was a little kid at that point. And I was begging him not to leave me. Now, he had passed away in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And begging him, don't leave me, don't leave me, please don't leave me. And I was just crying. And he said, go up. And my aunt's name was Kat. And he said, go up to Kat. I'll see you in a while. You need to go to Kat now. And I thought, I don't want to leave my papaw. That's the only thing I kept thinking. And when I went up the stairs, when I looked at her face, she looked 20 to 30 years had been taken off of her. And she was this beautiful young woman again. And I just remember smiling at her. And she said, I will see you soon, and I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you. And I remember waking myself up crying, and I could still smell my papaw's cologne in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my life started down a completely different road. So I completely agree with the fact that you can control your dreams, but I also believe that when you feel out of control, that's when you can gain control and not even realize that you're able to do it. Because my life was extremely out of control at that point, and that one instance said to me, you've got to change what you're thinking and the way you believe, and this is the first step to doing it. So dreams to me are extremely valuable for us to evaluate possibilities and find a center when we're not able to during wake state. But I do understand how terrifying it can be if you're sleepwalking. Like, I've never had that happen to me. Now, the crying, waking myself up crying and stuff, that's a normal occurrence for me.
I've sleepwalked before. My children have sleepwalked before. That's a pretty... I can't say it's a common occurrence anymore because now I've learned to control my dreams. When I didn't know how to, I would wake up and find myself in the living room on the couch going, how in the heck did I get out here? Or in the bathroom going, what is going on right now? What am I doing? I would like to, and honestly, I believe that I am haunting that house that I previously lived in, the farmhouse that I talk about from the Dream House in the Haunted Books. I would like to go back to Indiana and go out to that house and meet the people that live there, because I would bet you money that they know me even though they don't know me. Because I have been in that house so many times in my sleep, and every time I'm there, I'm looking around going, "What? This is not my stuff. Whose stuff is this? Why does my house look like this? It's so different. The walls are painted different. The floor is different. There's different furniture in there, and it doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm very confused, and then the family comes home, and I end up talking to them, and I'm like, what are you doing in my house? And I'm like, what are you doing in my house? And I bet you anything that if I go to that house on 150 East in Decatur, Indiana, they're going to look at me and go, holy crap, you're alive. I thought you were a ghost. Because I've been going there because that was my home. That is the only place I've been in that felt like home since I was a little child. And I think I'm haunting that even though I'm alive. I really do.
I think that's very possible. I think that's very, very possible because I end up traveling to the home that I lived in up until like the third or fourth grade. And then I also go to my grandparents' home that they owned when I was a little girl. I constantly, like when I have dreams, I usually am never here at my house or like the house that I grew up in after we left the haunted house that I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm always at one of those two locations. So it would not shock me at all either to walk up to the front door and say hi, and then be like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? We thought you were dead.
A million times we thought you were dead. I think that happens a lot. I really do think it happens a lot, especially with people who are incredibly adept at astral projection. Now, I don't consider myself someone who's adept at that because I can't do it on command. I know people that can do it whenever they want. Go ahead, Michael.
I think you're impatient and just won't wait to die before you haunt the place.
Well, it's my home. It feels like my home. I bet you I've said it a million times. If I ever get a movie deal and I have more money than I know what to do with, I'm going to go to that house and I'm going to tell the people that live there, I'll pay you whatever you
get
want
out.
If you'll let me have this house.
I believe
it's
probably
it was my home. It hurt me to leave it. I felt like I left a child there when I left the little blue girl. When I left her there, it still feels like I left my child behind, and that child had nothing to do with me other than she just happened to haunt that house. But it still feels like I have walked away from one of my children, and it hurts me. I mean, not to the point that it's destroying me, but it just, she is mine, and that's my place, and I want it back. How's that for psychosis?
Willow, I want it back.
I
now.
Want it back, dang it.
I need to...
I think I just heard Indy.
You did? Yes, that's my priest canine. I'm out in the boondocks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Several people
are
gathering around for this.
Can I tell you what you do for an actual living, Michael? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I am a police canine unit instructor. Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. And
so
I'm thinking of them.
Just so you know, if you think we're trying to pull the wool over your eyes, listeners, if you think that we're trying to just insert people here and there, what Michael does for a living is something that could be seriously jeopardized by what he does for fun, which is investigate hauntings and working as a demonologist. And it has actually cost him jobs in the past. Am I right?
Yes, I have been fired from one sheriff's department because I was going to bring the devil to the department. Because my unit
I am right there with you, son.
So if you feel like we're not offering believable, reputable opinions here, you better think again, because this man could totally lose his income over what he does. We don't play around with ghosties and the ghoulies on this show. We do laugh and we have a good time with them, but we take them very seriously. All of us take them very seriously.
Yeah, if anybody knew what department I worked for, it could actually be detrimental to my career again. But I am down here, and I'm taking this opportunity to check for haunted places, and that's why I wanted to interrupt, because my phone's dead, because I've been in the woods all day taking pictures of haunted woods in the daytime. Reason being because I was so far back in the woods, the squirrels looked at me and went, "You got a pretty mouth, boy." So,
oi, piggy!
Yeah, the guy
by the way, that
the
is still
hat.
My
the
least
chicken.
Favorite movie of all of them.
Well, I'm not worried about the demons. I'm worried about Bubba because I'm pretty far out sometimes. Thank God I'm a cop and can carry a weapon anywhere. But I'm checking out the woods because we have some haunted woods, so I'm scouting location during the daytime, getting a few pictures. And then, of course, I'm going back at 1 o'clock in the morning by myself. If I can get a night vision camera, it'd be great. If not, I'm just going to be walking through with a flashlight taking pictures. But thankfully, Brian from Missouri Ghost Hunter Society is going to set me up with several locations that is very popular in Missouri, very well-known haunted. Besides, I'm having to review all this stuff, which, from my understanding, they have a ton of video and audio proof, which will be on the YouTube channel. If he gets well in time, we're going to do a live show. If not, we're going to do a recorded show of a few of those investigations for the YouTube channel that will come back.
Right.
And
Tracy and I are also going to do some live investigations, which we are going to record and put up on our YouTube channel, which doesn't exist yet, but be looking for it, folks.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Paranormal Hour. We're going to get that going. The documentary that was supposed to come in February is still coming. They are trying to edit all of the camera footage together, and it's become a little more of an obstacle than they originally thought it would be, because this is an indie production company. So, I mean, it's on a very small scale, but that's coming. We've got a bunch of stuff coming for you, so just keep the eye out for it.
Yeah, we've got a lot set up, and I'm hoping what I'm going to do, Willow, is the little investigations I do and the pictures and stuff I get of, I'll let you know how this goes tonight and the woods tomorrow night and stuff like that. I will have ready for the paranormal hour, you know, on our normal show, and all the videos and investigations I'll have ready for you for the YouTube channel. I just wanted to put that in there real quick because of being out in the woods all day, my phone's about dead, so I didn't want it to die before I gave out that information. I'm also even staying at a bed and no breakfast, as I call it, that is haunted, as I discovered. And then the person that I'm renting the room from has no idea what I do other than my police work. And they started telling me stories and stuff, and I'm like, really, really? And because I just got bumped in the bed the night before and everything, I'm like, shut up, I'm trying to sleep. So I may have a few pictures from there as well, and just general stuff. There's some Bates. I don't work in Bates County. That's not where I work, but that's where I'm at the moment. Bates County, Missouri, is extremely haunted. It's like Atchison, Kansas. There's so much going on here that I would have to stay here for 6 months with this Missouri Ghost Hunter Society to cover everything. It's just. It's really going to be interesting. I'm enjoying my trip. I'm here for another 2 weeks. After I finish what I have to do here, I'm devoting a week full time to just the ghost stuff. When I get off work, I'm traveling to different locations around here. So hopefully I'll be able to get some good stuff and bring back. Ben, did I miss 4 shows? Yes, I know, Will. Thank you for reminding me. I'm claiming 2. 2 shows, 4 shows, you know.
Yeah. Couple.
But,
and I also have, like, Shooting Star is saying that the link that I am posting for Michael is not working. Willow, do you have a correct one that you could post in there?
Yeah, hold on just a second, and I will do that. Michael. Here we go. Hold on. I got it. There we go.
I also want to thank the little crowd that we have gathered. This is very nice, and we're very appreciative of you showing up and listening. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited you're here and chat with us, and
I'm sorry,
on our next
chat.
Show... Our next show, before we go too much further, I want to tell them, our next show has, oh my gosh, I was just getting ready to say the name and I forgot it, so let me go to the calendar and tell you who the next guest is, because all of a sudden
I
had a massive,
I don't want to be wrong.
I had a massive blonde moment, and I went, oh crap, who is that?
When you were laughing, did you spill anything, like, you drink?
Our next show is Alicia Sparks. Now,
yeah,
if you didn't tune into the last show, because she was our guest on the last show, Alicia reads cards, as well as does paranormal investigations, and she's also an author. And she did a card reading for me that was so dead on the money that I was absolutely speechless. If you listen to the show, you'll listen to me being very silent for a very long period of time because I didn't know what to say because she did not know me personally at all. She didn't know me. I met her exactly 10 minutes before the show started when she called in. We talked about the show and how everything was going to go down and what we were going to talk about and nothing personal, and she gave me a reading that blew my freaking mind. Not only to blow my mind, but Marcia Casper Cook was in the audience listening, and so was KB Miller, who's one of my very best friends. And they were both going, OMG, what is going on? Because they were freaking out because this woman knows what the heck she's doing. And on this next show, she's going to be taking your calls. She's going to be answering your questions. You're going to be able to ask her one question at a time, and she's going to pull a card, and she's going to give you an answer.
And trust me, she's legit. She
did your reading, too, right?
She did a reading for me privately. And
yeah, blew your mind, right?
She was right on the money. Yeah. Knew nothing about me.
We have a caller. Let's take this caller and see if they've got a question. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello. This is the Paranormal Hour, and we are taking your call.
Hello.
Caller, are you there? Okay. Well, apparently we don't have a caller that wants to talk. So we're going to go ahead and mute them. Sorry about that.
I was outside. I thought I had one fan.
All right. Well, it is 10:29, and our show usually goes about an hour, so at this point we've gone a half hour over. Isabel, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show tonight. We have really enjoyed having you. And honestly, from the bottom of my heart, anytime you'd like to come back, we would love to have you. Please give our listeners your stalker info so they can find you.
Right. Thank you also for having me, and I'd like to thank your listeners as well. You can find me on Facebook at Isabel Cate or author Isabel Cate, and my Twitter handle is at Isabel_Cate, and I have a blog. It's isabelcate.blogspot.co.uk, and I also have an Amazon page. It's at amazon.com/IsabelCate. So yeah, and if you want to email me, my email address is isabelcate@gmail.com, and I will try to answer all of your questions if you have any questions, whether it's paranormal or otherwise. So yes,
wonderful.
Thank you so much to you, Willow, Tracy, and Michael. It was nice to have met you.
It was wonderful.
Go back.
Thank you so much for staying up until the middle of the morning.
Yeah,
on our show. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you, too.
Michael, give him your stalker info, please.
You will have to do that if the link works. But I've been doing this since 5 in the morning, scouting locations, so I forgot my own info. It is important. Though,
you look up Michael Barbie on Facebook.
Thank you.
He's on Facebook.
I'm trying to post it right now.
He doesn't have a website yet because I haven't gotten around to doing it for him yet. So that's my bad. Tracy, give your stalker info, please.
My stalker info is you can find me on my website. It's tracyford.com. And I also have a YouTube series, and you can go there and just type in YouTube and then type in my name, and it should pop up. If you have trouble with that, you can go to youtube.com/user/author Tracy Ford. And then if you want to stalk me on Facebook, which is where most people are finding me, you can go to facebook.com, and it's /author Tracy Ford. So there's my stalker information. I was informed in chat that Shooting Star is now stalking all of us.
That's good. We need to be live stalkers.
We appreciate that.
As long as you don't send us your nether region, because I did a whole post on it. I would prefer for my stalker info, just add me on Facebook, please, at Willow Cross. Or you can find me on Willow Cross Books for my fan page, or willowcrossbooks.weebly.com is my website. You can find me on Twitter at willow.cross. Find me, join me, I'll follow you back, I'll friend you, whatever you want to do. I want to say, because I have a brand new book coming out next Wednesday, it's called Getting Over It, Building a Bridge and Getting Over It. This is not fiction, and it's not about ghosts, just so you know. I made it very clear in there that I'm not talking about ghosts. I'm talking about the pain and heartbreak and betrayal that I've been through in my life, and the 7 steps that I have instigated and have been using to get over it. I would like for you to find my page and join my giveaway event and read this book, because here's the whole thing. In all honesty, I don't talk about my personal emotional experiences often, and I don't talk about them with just about anybody. You have to be really inside my circle of friends to get to know me in that way. However, I was sitting one day watching my news feed, and this chick and that chick and another chick, and then a guy was talking about their relationships that were broken and the pain that they were feeling, and I really kind of felt guilty because I just went through all that. I've just gone through a divorce, and I'm 45 years old, for anyone that doesn't know, and it's very different being single in the middle of your 40s. And I was thinking about how much I've learned about myself and about life in general over the last 6 months, a year, and how bad I felt for these folks because there's life after a relationship. There is. Most of us tend to try to jump into another relationship to fulfill the aching need and that hole that's left there. And I decided I wanted to share that with folks. So it's not about ghosts. It's not about paranormal. It's just about me, my life, where I have been and where I am headed. And I'd like you to join the event. Come find it on the fan page. And I'd like you to read this book because I'd like to help you with your pain. I really would like to do that because you don't have to feel like roadkill and you don't have to feel worthless. There's life after a relationship, and you can find it. So look for that book. It's coming out next Wednesday. It's called Building a Bridge and Getting Over It. And thank you so much for tuning into the Paranormal Hour. We loved having you here, and we will be back in 2 weeks. And everybody, have a great weekend and a good night. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye, guys.